No.
They have these various ranges. They can do 25 and up, 30 and up, and 40 and down, 35 and down. You know, they're different. I don't remember the details of what the particular age range was. And now they have, you know, show you a passport or the driver's license and the door to get in. Anyway. And the problem was, wait, for 40, 50, 60 people together, all single at the zoo. A chaperone. They had chaperones. Then, you know, they have these various ranges. They do 25 and up, 30 and up, and 40 and down, 35 and down. You know, they're different. I don't remember the details of what the particular age range was. Now they, you know, show you a passport or the driver's license at the door to get in. Anyway. And the problem was, wait, for 40, 50, 60 people together, all single at the zoo. Chaperone. They had chaperones. Men, women. And these young men had good taste. And it was a very uncomfortable scene or two when this young man started talking to a woman and she was very charming and polite. This, how am I listening to her? And she was
married.
I didn't realize. So then they started, then I come to the door, there's something on your little pet. If you were single, you had one apple. If you're married, you have two apples. This is necessary to prevent this confusion. It seems to me, the Torah already foresaw the situation, it's infinite wisdom, and they started having apples. Come off when they were going out of the season. That a woman who was married should cover her hair. So she'd be noticeable in a flash, in an instant. When she's married. Why did the Torah say she has to wear a wedding band? There's no such requirement. If they're married with an apple, eat it up. The condition of fig and babies. There's all kinds of shnice about it. Could be that the ring is not so noticeable. You know, a ring is a look. Is it, what kind of ring is it? What kind of rings? I don't know. Or, my theory, this is again a secure theory on my part, that coloring in halacha implies, shava, implies kedushin. The holier something is, the more it's covered. You find the play on Mishkan, there's a victim in the Mishkan and the Midbar, and a coloring, part of my Midbar. You find it throughout. The holier, the more covered it is. And you know, they give me a modern day and age to stay. In the perspective of the Torah, as I see it, a woman who's married is simply holier than a woman who's not married. It's actually a man, that man. A man who's married is holier than a man who's not. Kedushin tea, to be married. It's called Kedushin, after all, is it not? You know, be so ashamed of it, it's called Kedushin. I thought, purely parenthetically, that's the reason we have certain distinctions between single and married men. The custom, probably the majority of Jews throughout the world right now, there are Jews that a single man does not wear a talis. Single adults with different customs. I know that they seem to be that's older, but that doesn't say a fact. Why? I know that's the reason. Married man gets on the talis indicates a higher level of kedushin. The Gemara in Avraham says that a single bracha should not cover his head with a talis. Where's that coming from? What does it say? So, you're not on that level yet, sir. Get married, you'll have more kedushin. So once again, covering indicates kedushin. But that's just pure, that's not really fine in the scar. I think there's a simpler reason, because it's the head. You look at a woman, you look at a face first. And the face, I don't like to wear a mask, and it's an Arab country. Right. So she covers her head. Right. Again, the theory on my part as to why the Torah demands this. But this would explain all the three distinctions between Torah law and rabbinical law. The Torah law told her she's married now, she was married, no, never.
But I've heard cases where women who have tried
who have been married and were looking for a shidduch have asked shilas and have.
Yeah,
been...
Okay. Can
Excuse me.
No. What? Good question. Where? She did it for a public place. No one knows who she is. Right. And then she has to cover her hair. She's in a semi-private place. In a private place, her own house, and someone walks in, not related to her. She's looking from her house, people know who she is, she's the Balabasta. So the Torah law would not demand that she would cover her head. How much? The same business. As long as she covered the majority of her head, obviously going to be very noticeable. And therefore, by Torah law, no problem. So all the rabbis up to it. Maybe that's the Torah school. The rabbinical law is sad, Yisharo. Chazal felt that part of the hair is must be covered. I can know which side is this, which is that. Good. So they added three extra restrictions. One, even if she was once married, she'd remain covered because after all, it's not nice. You know, for 20 years she went with the hair covered and no one looked at it, no one saw it. It was considered like something in her own private domain. Now all of a sudden she pulled it off. That's the hair covering. Not so nice. So the rabbis impose that description. Number two, they said it's even in the privacy of a home. If someone else is there or in semi-private, she should cover it. You know, someone may walk in, but this and that. Someone is in there. Number three, it says that we cannot determine exactly which side will be covered, which side won't be covered. So one day she'll put the majority walk to the left, the next day the dollar shade over to the right, and up to the front, and up to the back. Before you turn around, the man can see every single part of her head without being in violation. No. The rabbi says she has to cover everything. But they gave you a break. She can tell us now, and it makes sense, they'll be able to. Those are the three distinctions.
Was the second one in the privacy of her home?
No one else is there, then the rabbi does not require that she cover her hair. Not at all.
Only if someone else is in her home.
Only if someone else who's not related, then, you know, plus the Zohar says...
Female also?
Female's no problem.
I just want...
All the females in the world will be there. 100,000 females in Peking, in Beijing, so then that's not a problem. They're male journalists.
And how old before we would consider another male, like let's say a son's friend comes over?
That's a good question.
Very good question.
He's little, yeah.
Your son's friend.
I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't know.
Wouldn't it be the same rule as a rule that say when a boy can't go mix swimming anymore or something?
We're not going to that now.
All right, but no, I'm just saying for the rule for her, for the hair.
Maybe.
Not disgusting.
I don't know. I guess upper level would be 9 for sure. But so certainly, you know, that or younger. I don't know what the show would be. So far, so good. Clear? The question is, when does the restriction begin? You mentioned before after you're married. When I define married? It says in the Mishnah that at the wedding, she was Rosh Perua. It was uncovered. By definition, she went to the chuppah and the rebbe uncovered. So, not going to be. Married, now head is uncovered. It's a no-no. So two approaches to explain how this can be allowed by Torah law. We're going to get to a little bit later. But how can the Torah law even allow this? How can a woman who's married go with her hair uncovered at her own wedding yet? We complain about these crazy people. They wear these low-cut gowns, their own weddings. These so exposed and so... appropriate. So I'm asking the same question. In her own wedding, the woman's allowed to go with her hair uncovered, she's married. The Torah demanded that married woman cover the hair. What's going on over here? There are two approaches. I'm not sure which one is right. One is, no, she can't go in the Eretz Yisrael. She has to wear a veil. He says, Yotza, the Hignuma, the Rosh Hashanah. What does the Hignuma mean? Hignuma means a veil. And the veil can be see-through. That's true. But the Gemara tells us that something is called Kalsa. Kalsa is a kind of a basket. They have nowadays, exactly, not the normal called baskets, they have these, I don't know what to use for them.
Tiara?
What, a headpiece? Like
no, not a wedding. It's all about a woman wearing a plane. Netting. That's the word. Netting. Thank you. A netting. You can see right through it. Absolutely right through the netting. So by Torah law, that woman is charged with responsibility. How do you explain it? You can see right through it. She goes naked the whole body like that. You say, it's okay. Pass the show. So here, by Torah law, the whole purpose is to demonstrate that she's married. So she covered her hair, covered her head. You can see through it.
I thought at the time...
Oh, the minute we're ribs.
There was also a differentiation what the woman wore in the marketplace and what she wore in the courtyard, and that would be more like what she may have worn in the courtyard.
Right, that's correct. That's the Gemara. She in the courtyard of the semi-farm, she let her wear this netting. Now, so therefore that's not the problem. By Torah law, she's fulfilled her obligation by wearing the Hinduma, the veil. Rabbinic law requires you to cover more, but rabbinic law, there's a list, give her a break, it's a wedding. If this is true, then what she takes for the veil of the wedding? Error.
Who does that?
I saw it happen twice. Many years ago. And one other time, I was very upset. Extremely upset. Because maybe this is the right shot. If this is the right shot, the reason that she's committed to uncover the hair. Because she is wearing at least a veil or something, like something, or some headpiece. I mean a veil, a headpiece. Something's on her head, covering the majority of her head. That, my Torah law is enough. She takes that off, she's wearing a wedding gown and a white gown, but you can't make up your own thing. She'll put this in marriage. You can't make up your own thing. Put a ram on your head, marriage. You can't make your own thing. I was extremely upset by this. Same time, after being upset, I still am, maybe there's another interpretation, which would possibly justify it. I'm not justifying it. Maybe it's by Torah law. That is, it's possible that the obligation for a woman to cover her by Torah law does not begin at the moment of the nisuin, under the chuppah. Rather, only after the marriage is consummated. And the logic behind this is that this source is sota. Sota, you cannot be a sota if you've not lived with your husband first. And therefore, there's no potential for sota, there's no source for a Torah prohibition against uncovering the hair. If this theory is correct, then by Torah law, at the entire wedding, she doesn't have to cover the hair at all. Rabbinic law might, I'm not sure what it would say in such a case. So maybe we can judge for that behavior which I consider to be very upsetting. I'm still very upset by it. I'm not sure which my theory is right. But maybe.
You're
patching
the
shark. So, in the custom that people come here,
they're accustomed to come with the shape.
But after all, once they're married under the football, they want to do it together. Boom, right in the middle. Put the ring on the finger. Boom!
I can't.
That's it. That's what happened. She pops the shape on us when you put the ring on
her. Good, women did before.
But they moved before. It's against the Mishnah. It's over in the Mishnah.
What's against the Mishnah?
Mishnah says she's accompanied a fufu without it. Maybe the Torah is a Mishnah.
How do the Yekis have that minha? I know you're not going to...
I won't say, but maybe they do it nowadays. You can't... In the old days, they basically... She, so they put a ring on her finger, so she clapped her hair on her head. But nowadays, they don't do that.
But the Hasidim do it right after the chuppah.
Right after the
chuppah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I've been to quite a few where they... Yeah?
Takes an extra hour.
You bet.
What are you saying? When do they...
After the chuppah.
You didn't have shaykhs in time.
Yeah.
What?
Whether a woman is permitted to go and scream for a shaykh. Many great posts are prohibited. So a shaykh which looks like the hair is prohibited. You must wear a hat. Or a shaykh with a hat on top. Something is mentioned. Rav Yosef still writes tshuvas every year. You know, how to go with a shaykh, terrible thing. And even Meir Sharon, the women, they know how to go with a shaykh, they wear two coverings.
If a woman remarries, who's divorced or widow, what does she wear to the...
That's the whole point. The whole distinction to know whether the woman was married before, that's what the Mishnah records. If she
was... Oh, so it doesn't matter that she's now remarrying.
But she remarried, she should be wearing a shaykh.
She's still married.
Before the wedding. That's the whole point. The problem with many of others is that you never tell us what she's gonna marry for. She comes in with a shape into the wedding hall. So then what kind of you do? The bottom of the law of the mission. All right. Terrible, but what did happen in the old days?
So the post can, let's say, a woman can wear a shape.
Can, right.
What do they say?
Why? So my opinion is, they say, you can tell the difference between a shape and human ear.
Nowadays?
I am not at all a fan of these shaykhs which are so center, look at that now, but are so
well made
and I guess you really can't tell the difference. Absolutely can't tell the difference either. That's not right. It goes against the spirit of the law, as I explained it before, and it may even go against the letter of the law. Maybe because we're saying that's the whole chat. Some possible ask the shaykhs completely. I say even though we will make them to allow shayla, but it's so close to human ear, you really can't tell. Maybe even those who are leaving would not agree.
Well, a lot of people go out of business.
Good. A lot of people will go out of business. They save the Jewish community a lot of money, and they will potentially serve. I don't think shayla would ugly. That's not for sure. She would be very pretty. Be pretty and still, it's, you know, it's not her head.
Well, most people look more attractive in a well-done shape than doing
so good. So good.
Well,
wear makeup, nothing like that. Obviously, if you go beyond a certain point, everyone knows a certain point where it's beyond. You know, you sneer is much more than what's written down in books. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell sometimes a person dresses a certain way. It's not that sneer, you're wearing a shape, or you're wearing a regular shape.
Not
get involved in that.
So if the shape looks exactly like your hair, it's not
good. I didn't say that. A shape could be your hair actually. You could take your hair,
really?
Cut it off, make it into a shape.
You
nothing wrong with that.
Really?
But
really?
Yeah,
and what if someone can't tell? But
it's you can't tell. I know you can tell. You take your own hair, cut it off, make it into a shape. I'm not speaking to myself. But you can usually tell. It's not your hair. I mean, it's your hair, but
You're at a wedding and you know everyone there is from, so you say, oh, that's a gorgeous looking shape. But if you saw the woman stand in the street in New York, you wouldn't tell.
Well, that's another question. Who are we catering to? Who has to notice? Like, what, you know, like everything else. What's the application?
Should be able to know that. Not a person, an expert, not a person completely out of this world. Someone in between.
So, but I know several people who, in the work world, the dafka wear a shekel because the hat might be more noticeable, and that might not be a good thing for work situations.
They
stand out more.
Well, I was once matter in my career at the Fetzer now. I was once matter for a married woman to wear a human hair shape, which was intended to look like her hair. She was a lawyer, a very fancy firm, and I swear I was going to back it up against the wall, and
Okay, right.
You know, I don't like it, but well enough.
I was not approved. That's what I thought you were saying. I was asked to remove my hat twice in court.
What about the proceeding with the fact that you are married? In other words, if the point here is to say that the woman is covering her hair so that as you first see her, because she's wearing a head covering, you know she's married. If we proceed with the fact that we're married, let's say any of us, we're in a workplace, and we say, everyone knows you're married.
Right.
Is it necessary to go to that next step to say, and I also cover my hair? In other words, no. But by visual, by wearing a hat or by wearing a shekel, that is very noticeable.
Yeah.
So
it's not for the sign I'm married. I said before.
No, you're covering your hair. Of course you're covering your hair. But
oh,
let's say...
Oh, you wear a human hair shekel with a sign, married.
Yeah. A verbal... you're not hiding the fact that you're married. It's not a secret.
No, okay. That was the case I told this lady. She wore a wedding band. And she wore a... Not an ideal in my opinion.
Even human hair shapers don't look exactly.
Right. Let me go on. If a woman does not cover her hair, is she doing something sinful, or is she not fulfilling a mitzvah?
Thank you.
Which is?
Can you say
it? A married woman does not cover her hair. Is that sinful behavior on her part? A veira? Or she's not fulfilling a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to cover her hair. It's not fulfilling a mitzvah. The Moshe Feinstein, the part of the Baruch, and the children, he goes, no, she's not sure. Two perushim in Rashi and Ksubis, but the Gemara derives the entire halacha. A woman who's married having to cover her hair from the parai at Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi has two interpretations. One is, look, if she be uncovered, it means until now it must have been covered. That shows it's the mitzvah. That shows it's an aveir. Second interpretation of Rashi is no. An aveira, sinful behavior, and by demonstrating that doing something, making her do something, which is usually sinful, and she suspected it of a terrible sin. There's two interpretations. The question, I'm not sure what's right. You have to go to Chumrah. The father strictly to that is prohibited. What's the difference? The question is the difference. If you lose a job, cover your hair, lose your job. They didn't have to change the shekels 40 years ago. You cover your hair, lose your job. Unemployed. So a bunch of like this. If it's an aveira, can't do an aveira against their job. That's a job. It's quote only, end quote, a mitzvah, then you're not required to spend more than 20% of your money to perform a mitzvah. The job is all the money. You'd be allowed to not to cover me, and to hold down the job. Since we're not sure if it's out there. You can't do it. Not much right. That's all. She's presently married. She's presently married to the Shadow of everything in Torah. But she's formally married to the dwarf woman, a widow. And she covered it, she loses the job. And Moshe passed, and she gets uncovered it. Why? Because maybe it's only rabbinic. Maybe it's only a mitzvah. And a mitzvah you're not required to give her more than 20% of your money. Excuse me. On this basis, similar basis, but Moshe passed. In the case of a woman who cannot find the shidduch, she cover her hair when she's widowed or divorced, she's permitted to uncover her hair for the same reason that the shidduch is more important than all your money. That's important, I would say. Same idea. I'm not going to give up on the shidduch. This mitzvah. If they're not there, it's something good, but it's only a mitzvah. So Moshe's leave is limited only in the case where it's relevant. They hit my hair, not all the time, you know. These things usually have a way of going to the lowest count of an hour there, but okay, let's get the, for the small and the fine print. Now, said all this, let's review very briefly. A woman is required by Torah law to cover her hair. We gave a theory why. We explained that there's three differences between Torah law and rabbinic law. Where, who, and how much. Rabbinically savvy sheherva. Three extra stringencies. We'll discuss exactly when it begins in the narrative. It's a little complicated. What specific point. Now we've said all this, we're going to go back to Iran. We said until now is our law. Finish. Now we're going to have a postscript. Now it's almost called the off the record postscript. So it'll be a postscript anyway, even though it's going to go.
You want me to turn it?
No, we don't. A postscript. Not introduction, but the postscript, you know. This is round how we started. We spent so much time with, what is this? Said a woman has to cover her hair, single or married. Makes no distinction between the two. So we thought the Rama was the biggest machmir in the world. Every poor girl from Yemen had to cover her hair when she was single. When you think about it, when you look carefully at the story, you'll find out that many people claim that the Rama was the biggest maker in the world. Because by equating single and married, it leads one to the impression that it cannot possibly be the whole theory we said before is obviously completely out from the Rama. So that's the two choices. Either the Torah demands that even single women cover their hair, or the entire obligation to cover the hair is rabbinic. You're left with almost no other choice because the Rama says there's no distinction. How fast is Pluto about how fast is Pluto? Pluto means literally a Pluto. The fact that the trusting seems to have changed in Yemen recently, the Yemenite community indicates, it couldn't possibly be an absolute Torah command. That never changes. What it therefore led to an interesting conclusion according to the Rama. Namely, that the entire. So, me to tell me if a woman who walks around the street with her hair uncovered, that's you, this, that's truth, that's truth, that's motion. So how can I just say now that's not a Torah law? The answer might be according to the Rambam. That's you, this is the stringency Jewish women accepted over the ages. That's Moshe is a stringency which is recorded in the Bible. Not everything that's recorded in the Bible absolutely mandated by the law. The Torah and the Bible in the Chumash was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word. Correct. It was dictated at that time based on prevailing principles and customs, which is sort of taken for granted. The according to many authorities, you find it elsewhere. Briefly, I don't want to spend too much time on this now. There seems to be a number of things which the Torah assumes which may not be man-made in halacha. It just existed at that time. For example, kesuba. This is passion. Kesef, yishkol, kemor, habasulas. What kesuba? What the most... be mandatory. Number one. Number two, if you look carefully, again in this week's parsha, again, it's amazing. You pick the right week. Well, snowstorms and cancellations. The snowstorms, this is exactly why. Now we know why. Come on, I have a schedule on the right before we start. I have a very important schedule. I'll tell you about it for you. And that is, the very second puzzle. This is the servant, the slave. The wife goes out with him. So Rashi asks, who brought his wife in? The wife goes out with him. Who brought the wife in? The wife is in. So Rashi says, when he becomes a servant, this master is required to support the wife. What? The pasuk later on says, at the end of this week's parasha, says, Sheira Ksusa Vanasala Yikra. Some say it means food. Others say it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean food. It's the obligation to support your wife is rabbinic in nature. So what do you mean? The obligation to support your wife is rabbinic, and the Torah is making reference to a husband supporting his wife, and that the master has to take over that obligation? The answer is yes. Because even though it's only rabbinically as an obligation, but every good Number two, to look carefully, again in this week's parasha, it's amazing. You pick the right week. Well, snowstorms and cancellations, postponements, this is exactly why. Now we know why. Come on, I have a schedule on the right before we start. I have a very important schedule on the playback for you. And that is, if the Gapol, the Gapol, you say, the very second puzzle. This is the servant, the slave. The wife goes out with him. So Rashi asks, who brought his wife in? The wife goes out with him. Who brought the wife in? The wife is in. So Rashi says, when he married, when he becomes a servant, this master is required to support the wife. Of course, what? The pasuk later on says, again, this week's parasha says, Sheira, Ksusa, Vanasala, Yikra. Some say it means food. Others say it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean food. It's the obligation to support the wife is rabbinic in nature. So what do you mean? The obligation to support the wife is rabbinic, and the Torah is making reference to a husband supporting his wife, and that the master has to take over that obligation? The answer is yes. Because even though it's only rabbinically as an obligation, but every good husband in the time of the Torah supported his wife without an obligation. Again, with Suga, he supported her, and the Torah is making references to these commonplace practices, even if they're not completely mandatory. There are more, but I'm going to stop here because there's plenty more. So, here too. Upara is Rosh Hashanah. Doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. Very strange, a Rosh mitzvah. And a bayer? This is the third shot. The Torah is making reference to the prevailing custom. That's what's called Das Moshe. Das Yudis means it is not found in the Chumash. Das Moshe, it is found in the Chumash. Can it change? It's got a long shear that Das Yudis can change. Really, so that's going to change. Well, guess what? Well, it is possible, conceivable, theoretical. Das Moshe can also change. But the Torah can never change. Sure, the Torah can never change. Any command the Torah gives can never change. Never, ever. Not a Torah's command. The Torah is describing reality. Reality, married, women will cover the air. P.S. Even Goya should marry, women will cover the air. And now you can see in the history book, source will give up. How they get divorced? Take a hat off, that was a divorce. Boom. No get, takes off a hat, now she's divorced. That is not something which really should be done. Why not? Because it's gonna impact and make it possible the fulfillment of either Pruru, the basic obligation of having a boy and a girl, or its extension of having more children, which is also something which is positive from our perspective. In the Ritva is also followed by the Mahashal, about the Kazanish, many other posts. According to them, any woman who is permitted to use contraception respective of the positive commandment. Why? Because she's not up to it emotionally or physically.